Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. All right, now, First Peoples Art of Australia coming to the National Gallery following an international tour. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Tina Boehm, curator of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island Art. On the line. Tina, good morning, sister. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Good morning to everybody.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sis, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, look, I'm from Darwin originally, so okay. I've been down in Canberra for a while now, but I'm Larrakia, Waterman and Gurradjuri from NT and WA.
Yes.
So, yeah, long way from home.
Long way from home. And where are you based at the moment, sister?
I'm based in Canberra, which is very, very cold at the moment. So I'm very jealous of the warm mob up there.
Yeah, it's just I'm sitting up here in shorts, football shorts and singlet. But anyway, good to be yarning with you. And look, thank you for coming to the program. We're talking First Peoples of Art of Australia coming to National Gallery following international tour. So, pardon the pun, but paint the picture, please, regarding this this fantastic opportunity for First Nation art.
Yes. No, look, it's called Ever Present, First Peoples Art of Australia. And the premise behind the exhibition is that it talks about our ever-present presence here in this country. So
yes.
As far as we're concerned, as everybody knows, we always have been and always will be here.
Yes.
And so we have an opportunity to showcase that to audiences around Australia now when it comes to the National Gallery in September this year. But we had... At the National Gallery of Australia, have the largest collection of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander art in the world.
Yes.
And so we had an opportunity to look into our collections and to the collections of Wesfarmers Arts, who is our national arts partner, and to travel our collections internationally. So we started at the Art Gallery of Western Australia in 2021. Due to COVID, we had to start in Australia, but then, you know, get going across the seas to Southeast Asia to National Gallery of Singapore, and it was wonderful and important to be able to tell the story over there because you
it was
know,
well Aboriginal received, was it, Tina?
Hey, what's that? Sorry?
It was well received over Asia?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Because we've got that Southeast Asia connection that we have had for centuries with the Macassan people,
exactly.
You know, it was really good to remind people of that connection that. You know, particularly Aboriginal people have had overseas.
Yeah, fantastic. And so here we are, bringing them back to the National Gallery of Australia.
Yep. Yeah, so, you know, it's important to bring it back to this country and showcase our works again to the nation and remind everybody that, you know, we always have been and always will be here, and particularly along the east coast of Australia.
Yeah, fantastic. The exhibition, when will it start and how long does it go for?
It starts in September this year,
okay.
And it'll be on for several years.
Beautiful.
We've got an opportunity to just let it rest at home for a bit.
Cool.
So
cool.
There's plenty of time for people to come to Canberra and to come and have a look.
Could you mention some of the artists we're talking here?
Oh, gosh, we've got some fantastic, certainly, final Queensland artists. A lot of Torres Strait artists. We've got Alec Tapodi. We've got Janet Fieldhouse. Who's in Cairns. We've got really major artists like, of course, Albert Namatjira and Emily Kamanware, as well as, you know, artists from across the country.
Yes.
It's important to have that representation and to show that diversity, strength and excellence to audiences they come across the exhibition.
And look, when you talk about art, Tina, we talk about a fantastic vehicle that talks about our culture. We are storytellers and truth-telling. It's a powerful vehicle, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, an artist is so deadly. They're just doing it in glass, in film, in metal, you know,
ghost nets.
All types of media. You know, we've really got to show that, that, you know, diversity.
Exactly. Fantastic. All right, beautiful. Good yarning with you. Thank you so very much, my sister. You stay warm. And big shout-out to National Gallery of Australia. And, look, having ever-present First Peoples Art of Australia coming to the National Gallery. Fantastic, after a very successful international tour. And back on country. But, look, thank you, my sister. You take care. Please keep in touch, and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Tina.
Bye.
Deadly Yarn, Tina Boom, her name is, curator of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander art. Ever Present is the exhibition, and First Peoples Art of Australia coming to National Gallery following an international tour, very successful over in Asia, and it'll be in, placed at the exhibition, National Gallery of Australia, in September, there for a couple of years. So do check it out, your mob. Stay tuned to your daily program, National Talk Black, Trinity Trev, Murray from McCurry, your host. National Talk Black, one-hour program live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on New Gingee Country, BBM Bumper Bit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, your mob, too deadly.
Mob, this is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Gotta go catch the night, chasing that feeling. You and me, it's alright. The same idea, keeping me in a time. We're in the
been saying it's complicated, and I hear you loud and clear when you say I'm overreacting, just sick of you asking me over and over, then tell me it's over when I say it's complicated, when I don't.
Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
Yes, very good morning. Thank you very much for coming to the daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have your say, yarn up strong, new mob, 1-800-422-416. All right, Domestic Family Violence Prevention Month. And we're going to talk to Ashton Wood, founder of DV Safe Phone. We have Ashton on the line. Ashton, good morning. How are you?
Good, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Ashton?
I'm based on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland.
All right. Still a Queenslander. Fantastic. I'm in Cairns. Thank you for coming to the program. Look, a very important month when we talk about Domestic and Family Violence Prevention Month. In actual fact, should be prevention 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. It's happening way too often, and the stats are getting worse, which is surprising considering you'd think that we'd be getting better at protecting the victims, but we don't seem to be at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you are the founder of DV Safe Phones. Paint the picture, please. Tell us who Safe Phones is and how it came about.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So it came about kind of by accident, to be honest. I'd cleaned up the house, filled the car with goods to donate to charity, and we went into lockdown here in Queensland. And so I suddenly had my car loaded and nowhere to take anything.
Yes.
So I thought, it's not junk. Someone's got to need this. So I rang the only person I could think of who'd know what to do. She was an ex-police senior sergeant.
Okay.
And I knew she dealt with domestic violence, but didn't know much more. And so I rang her up and said, Janine, I've got a carload of stuff. Where do I take it? And she said, Ashton, what I need right now are mobile phones.
Whoa. So that phone call was meant to be. That phone call was meant to be.
Yeah, it definitely was.
She gave a reason why she needs phones?
Yeah, I asked her, I said, okay, why do you need phones? We've all got phones, why do you need them? She says, well, in domestic violence, the police and agencies can have the best safety and escape plan for victims, but quite often it's their phone that's being tracked, monitored or taken.
Yeah.
And it leaves them with no way to call for help.
Yeah, gotcha. Yes, yes. So how do you operate safe phones? You got an office as such, or you got a team of people, or...?
Yeah, well, I offered her my two phones. I said, Janine, I've got two phones you can have.
Yeah.
She said, well, those phones could save a life.
You're good. Beautiful.
I said, how many more do you need? She goes, what do you mean? I said, oh, we've all got phones. You know, all my friends, we've all got phones in our drawers that are sitting there. How many do you want? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, maybe 30 or 40 phones.
Yeah.
And she said, Ashton, you will never get me enough phones. I'm like, oh, give me a number. Come on.
Yep.
And she said, all right, well, there's over 2 million victims of domestic violence.
Oh, wow.
Like, 2 million? That's a big number. I said, all right, well, I can't guarantee you 2 million, but I can start. But just so I can be clear with everyone, what countries will you send the phones to? Just so I can tell everyone where the phones are going to go. And she said, countries. I said, yeah, you said 2 million people. You know, what countries?
Yeah.
She said, Ashton, with all due respect, what rock are you living under? This is just here in Australia.
Yeah.
So I started it at home.
That's an astronomical number, isn't it?
It is a huge number.
Whoa.
It is really scary.
It is.
Yeah. So I put the call out to my friends, and about 300 phones turned up at home. And
yes.
I thought, uh-oh.
Hello.
I've got a problem.
Exactly.
Big
truck reversing. That's
exactly,
right.
Exactly. So we've 4 years on now. We have an office. I've gone and leased an office space because we've had 23,000 mobile phones come in.
Yes.
We're giving them out at a rate of about 100 phones a week.
Okay.
And we give them to police stations, domestic violence agencies, safe houses and hospitals.
Yeah.
We give quite a few up there in Cairns, so, and always welcoming more. So if there's
any
police or agencies listening.
So the phones you give, they're SIM cards all ready to go, numbers there, chargers, all the above?
Yeah, correct. So we get people's phones, we test them, repair them, make sure they're going to work, and then we buy a brand new charger cable to suit that phone.
Yeah, good.
And we also put a $5 LD mobile SIM card in with it.
Yes.
And post it off, normally in boxes of 10 to the agency, so they have what they need for the emergencies they've called us for, but then have some on hand for the next emergencies, but they certainly go through them very quickly.
So this is a DV Safe phone. It's an entity as such. It's a vehicle supporting, helping victims as such. So is it a business? Is it profitable or is it a non-profit?
It's a charity non-profit.
Okay.
And to be honest, it's the worst business model in the world, I've realised.
Well, it's working, brother. It's working.
People give us phones and it's costing us on average $75 for every phone that leaks because we need SIM cards, cables.
Yeah.
We pay for postage and a lot need batteries.
So do you get funding, Ashton? Do you get funding?
No, we don't get any government funding. So we do this purely from donations from generous people. And we are always trying to apply for little grants, government like a local council grants and local bank grants and all sorts of things to try and get the doors open. So, it's costing us a lot of money. It is growing. In the way of growing, when I say growing, I mean more phones are going out, which is costing us even more.
Okay.
And we don't sell them, and I will not sell these phones because we understand that when it comes to a victim who needs a phone, they can't afford to spend
$2, $3, $4, or even
$1,000 on a phone.
Ashton, here you are driving DV Safe phone. What do you do work-wise? Have you got an income, or what do you do, Ashton? Is this a part-time gig?
So
or?
I also run a... I run a separate business. We do IT consulting and reputation management for corporates. So, yeah, that's how I make my money.
And what's the name of your company there?
IC3 Solutions, letter I, letter C, number 3 Solutions.
IC3 Solutions. So there it is.
IC3 Solutions, yeah. So that's my other company.
Good.
And thankfully, I've got a few staff in there that have really stepped up and are doing a lot more hours now because I'm spending a lot of time in this. Because I love the other business, but this one is literally saving lives.
Exactly. Beautiful. Powerful.
Yeah.
Well, speaking from the heart, my friend, and thank you so very much for sharing DV Safe Phone. We are talking about Domestic and Family Violence Prevention Month. That's the month of May. Looks so very important. We need to stamp it out, and we are all in this together, are we not, Ashton?
We certainly are. We are definitely all in this together, and it's. I think the trick is, as I learnt when I started this,
I thought I knew one person who was a victim, and then I went out to my community and asked them for their phones.
Mm.
And I'm shocked at how many people came back and told me that they had been victims, their mum, their sister, their auntie. And I'm like, hang on a second, we've worked together for years. You've never mentioned this.
Exactly, yeah.
And they say, well, when would we? When's the right time to talk about that? You know, we're talking about work, we're not talking about this.
Exactly.
So just by people asking their friends for their old mobile phones can start that conversation.
Powerful.
And I think it's really important that we have it.
Aston, for people out there who want to provide phones, how do they get in contact with you? Where do they send the phones to?
Yeah, if they just go to our website, which is dvsafephone.org, dvsafephone.org, on there is a map, and that map has all the places people can drop their old phones to. There's about 800 places around Australia where people can drop the phones in.
Yep.
It also has a link to donate, so if people are, have
donate money
in helping us financially, then we'd love that too.
So dvsafephone.org.au?
That's it.
Lovely.
Not .au, just .org.
.org, okay, thank you very much. Look, beautiful yarning with you, Ashton. Thank you very much, leading from the front. Big heart, passion's there, but we need to stamp out domestic violence, family violence. And thank you for your yarn. You stay strong, and we'll yarn soon, Ashton.
Yeah, thank you so much, Trevor. I really appreciate it.
Take care, brother. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
A deadly yarn there, beautiful yarn. Ashton Wood, his name is, founder of DV Safe Phone. And look, it all just started with a phone call to a police officer who's looking for phones. And he says, yeah, I had a couple of phones here. What do you need them for? And look, there it is. Over 2 million phones was required in regard to domestic violence. That just shows you, we're talking about COVID-19, a pandemic. This is a pandemic. When we're talking about domestic and family violence, look, it needs to stop. This is prevention month for the month of May, but it should be prevention month, 12 months a year. So look, there it is. Have your say, yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. And going back to Ashton Wood, founder of DV Safe Phone. Have a look at his webpage, dvsafephone.org. Check it out. You can donate a phone or donate cash, whichever way. It's a non-profit organisation and for good cause. Yarn up strong, you're up here on National Talk Black. Big shout out to NERS, National News Radio Service, and National Talk Black here with Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry.
I'm looking across this land, reminds me of a place so far away, far from here. I see rivers, I see valleys, come take me away, far from here, take me home.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Bearers of our oral history, pass your story to the children of tomorrow. Can't sit here and stare in sorrow. Bearers of our oral history, pass your story to the children of tomorrow. Stand them in good stead so they will follow.
Sing strong.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumblebip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. All right, we're going to catch up with Deadly Sister now. Got Rachel Tower, OAM, CEO of Pipeline Talent. And let's talk about First Nation people in leadership roles. We'll talk about that and probably touch on a Reef 2050 Traditional Owner Implementation Plan. But on the line, we have Rachel. Very good morning, Rochelle. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm well. Thank
I'm
you very much.
Calling in from cold, Ngunnawal country.
Yes.
Down in Canberra. But myself, I'm a proud Wanneroo woman from up near Singleton in New South Wales.
Beautiful. Just about actually your mob, but fantastic. And big shout out to your
mob.
Big shout out there to a mob down in Canberra way as well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So our CEO of Pipeline Talent, OAM, thank you very much. Rachel Tower, Rochelle Tower. Who are you? Tell us your journey and the hat you wear, my sister.
Yeah, who am I? Good question. Some days I don't know myself, but I was born down in Blacktown in Sydney.
Yes.
My beautiful mum and dad. My dad worked 6 days a week in the city, and, you know, he would catch the train into the city. He'd read the back pages first, which were the sports pages.
Of course.
And then the news on the way home.
Yes.
And one day he realised it was Sunday, so he packed us all up. We were going to Melbourne because he liked the horse races and things like that.
Yep.
But we only had enough petrol to get us to Canberra, so that's where we stayed. So he changed his story to say that we were we moved to Canberra to become public servants.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, which I was. Proud of public servant. Learnt lots. But one day I was offered to go and work at the Australian Indigenous Leadership Centre and took a risk, took 12 months leave without pay, and it was the best decision that I've ever made in terms of my journey, my leadership development. I learnt so much. I started at the organisation when there was about $14,000 in the bank and had to go and ask hand on heart for funds to keep the doors open.
Yes.
And luckily the Leadership Centre being the only organisation in Australia at the time that delivered accredited Indigenous leadership training for MOB. And I was so proud of the work that I did there. I was there for about 14 years until I started thinking what was next. And I won a senior role in government, just about to say, when can I start? And I jumped on a plane over to Perth, where I sat on a board.
You were taking up a new position, were you, in WA?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I was taking up a new position back in government and sat on a plane ride and started reading a magazine article that Qantas had written this awesome article about myself.
So you were sitting there on the plane reading about you?
Yeah, sitting on the plane reading about me next to the loo.
Thank you.
I always say thanks to Mr. Joyce that there was no upgrade. But nobody would have
He's left the building. He's left the building.
No, he was still there. It was 8 years
okay,
ago.
Okay, there you go. All right, yep.
Yeah, I read this magazine article that talked about women in the pipeline and how women's numbers were increasing across corporate community and government, and it got me thinking, if I replace the word woman with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, where would our numbers sit in executive roles across the country? And just doing that quick requisition in my head, I realised that more than 50% of our Aboriginal corporations were being run by non-Aboriginal people. 26 agencies in the Northern Territory government at the time, no Aboriginal leaders in those positions.
Yes,
I think we had maybe under 30 executive officers within the federal government and very limited in state and territory government. Certainly no heads of department, statutory authorities, yes. And in corporate Australia in the ASX, we had one that was a part of an executive. And so I literally got off the plane and
resigned.
Rang the minister and said, "Minister, I'm not taking your job." I hadn't even started it, but
whoa, that's powerful.
Executive recruitment agency for MOB. And
well, you are where you're meant to be, Rochelle. You are where you're meant to be, sister. Yes.
Absolutely. But there is a little bit of a personal story that I'll share with you as
Please.
Well.
Yes.
You know, I'm a mum of one. She's 29. Married, left the nest, but 4 months into starting Pipeline Talent, I got a phone call from my mum.
Mm.
And my mum said, "You need to come and get your brother's baby." And unfortunately, my brother was a drug addict.
Okay,
and And so I found myself with a four-month-old baby. And then a few months later, his brother arrived. And I thoroughly believe that whatever reason, you know, and the boys are now six and seven and okay. thriving.
Yes, good.
I thoroughly believe that I started Pipeline. There was a whole big reason, you know, it was meant to be where I was meant to be. Because would my workplace would have understood the need of kinship care, right? So for me, that's a...
You were practicing it, my sister.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, taking the kids to school this morning and this, you know, they've got school photos, trying to juggle, you know, everything. They see their mum, they see their dad, and they see their siblings, and, yeah, we're doing okay.
Good. Now, Pipeline Talent, so that's a business. And you're CEO? And Pipeline Talent, so who's that owned by? Who's that run by? Indigenous Recruitment Company?
100% me.
Okay.
I have 12 staff.
Lovely.
We're based, we've got staff in Canberra and Sydney.
Yes.
And we're growing at a slow pace. I've taken a real passion in not going too hard and not being able to promise what we're able, what we're delivering on.
Yep.
But we work across the community sector, so we do a lot of CEO recruitment for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander corporations.
Okay.
You know, some that maybe have gone through, well, I think we've got a couple that are going through administration at the moment.
Sure.
So working, you know, they're tough jobs, but
so
they're really important jobs.
Rochelle, if we've got a company at their organisation that they're looking for a CEO or even a chairperson, they can contact Pipeline Talent.
Call.
Yeah, lovely, fantastic.
We do board recruitment.
Okay.
As you know, we're doing work with the Reef TO piece at the moment with the co-chairs, the members, and the general manager.
Good.
So that's in a live recruitment process at the moment.
Okay.
Applications have closed, unfortunately. But have a look at our website to register if you're thinking that that's somewhere that you'd like to work in the future.
Lovely.
Because they are taking, you know, while you might not be, you know, the board member or the or the general manager, they will have other positions that sit underneath them within the administration of the Reef. So, yeah, have a look at our website.
And website, please, Rochelle?
Yep. Pipelinetalent.com.au.
Pipelinetalent.com.au. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, my sister, look, a fantastic story, and congratulations. Leading from the front. And look,
I
always say we need more black successes, not only on the football field, my sister.
Yeah, and get everybody to think about, you know, how do they put their hand up to have a crack at something that they'd never thought they would be any, you know, great at?
Yeah, exactly.
Ask people for feedback. Feedback is king. If you want to put your hand up and for any opportunity, whether it be that you're just starting out or whether it's in business or, you know, I'm more than happy to, give you my email address so that if you want to have a yarn, time is you know, is a blessing.
Exactly.
And I'm more than happy to give because, I know what it's like to start out and how scary it is to put your hand up.
Exactly. Rochelle Tower, lovely yarn with you, my sister. Look, leading from the front.
And you, my friend.
Enjoy that journey. Please do keep in touch. And, let's take our people to the top and enjoy the journey, sister.
And congratulations to you, my friend, in your new appointment.
Yeah, thank you so very much. And, look, we'll yarn soon, sis. We'll keep in touch.
Yeah. See you then.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Now. A deadly yarn, beautiful yarn. Rochelle Tower, OAM, CEO of Pipeline Talent, her business, and it's about seeking leadership and training up leadership and putting leaders in the right place to perform and direct our Indigenous organisations forward and Indigenous businesses as well. So, look, that's what they do, Pipeline Talent. So if you are looking for a CEO, chairperson or senior leaders, Rochelle Tower, OAM, who you need to contact at Pipeline Talent. There it is. Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns and Yidinji country, BBM Bumbaribit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn Up Strong, your mob, too deadly.